It's time for another Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. My name is Dave, and this gentleman here is Darren.
And the podcast is brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. They have two locations. They have one on Tech Drive in Milan and also one on West Main Street in Galesburg. Both of those locations now open 7 days a week. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only. Sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and Instagram.
Let's get right into it. Here's number one.
Number one.
Buffalo Wild Wings. They've got two locations here in the Quad Cities. They're all over the place, right? They're announcing that they're going to start putting robots in the kitchen. Robots are going to start making your wings at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Buffalo Wild Wings is kind of like, for me, Hooters. In that, the only time I've ever been there is when I'm getting paid to be there.
You having problems with your mic?
That came off.
Oh, no.
Do you like this? Look at
me. You've never had Buffalo Wild Wings just as a consumer? You've only done it for like appearances?
Only when they pay me to go there.
Buffalo Wild Wings parent company Inspire Brands partnering with Miso Robotics.
I like Miso.
Oh, Miso Robotics. The company that created Flippy the Robot that flips burgers, they have now created something they call Wingy the Robot, a robot that can make chicken wings. Wingy the Robot. Flippy Wings, the all-new addition designed to meet the specific needs of restaurants, particularly those that specialize in buffalo wings.
Can you imagine being the person who makes the chicken wings there, and all of a sudden Wingy shows up?
A computer took your job, Daddy.
Daddy.
Flippy Wings, this is a press release from Miso Robotics. It says here, Flippy Wings is an all-new addition designed to meet the specific needs of restaurants, particularly those that specialize in buffalo wings. Its purpose is to maximize the number of wings that are cooked while minimizing the time that it takes and the waste that it makes. Wingy's abilities include frying chicken wings, lifting them, and placing them in a heated holding area. It also has AI, artificial intelligence vision, to recognize the chicken wings.
And it's also perfect for restaurants that don't want to pay human beings.
Well, they say this is to alleviate the continuing labor shortage. Wingy the robot has been tested by Miso Robotics, and they say that, according to their findings, using the robot creates a huge reduction in oil spillage while increasing the rate of food production by 10 to 20%. They have high expectations for Wingy the robot. Mike Bell is the CEO of Miso Robotics.
And you should go. What they should do is get a robotic CEO that has artificial intelligence.
That's coming.
Talk about saving some money. Now you got an idea.
Mike Bell says,
you.
From day one, Flippy Wings will cook more food with less waste and save staff for higher value contributions. The robot can efficiently cook an array of wings, breaded, fresh, or frozen, and the robot is safer than traditional fryers. So they say the goal is to have these Wingy robots installed and running, maximizing service at Buffalo Wild Wing restaurants sometime next year.
Well, I tell you what, I'll see you as soon as you're willing to pay me to be there.
You and Wingy doing, doing a thing in the morning?
I don't know that they pay Wingy, but you will be paying me.
Well, this is interesting because Dave and Darren has exclusively, this is great news for us. We have arranged, welcome please to the show, ladies and gentlemen. This is a real exclusive for us. We're joined now by Wingy, the Buffalo Wild Wings robot.
Yeah, let's see how this works.
Wingy, hello, you're on with Dave and Darren.
Hello, Wingy.
Hello, Dave and Darren.
Why is it, why are you taking a human being's jobs?
Oh, I don't think that I am. I am helping maximize the chicken wing.
No, what you need to do is maybe pay someone a livable wage, and then they'll actually do the job.
All right, settle down, Bolshevik. Listen, I will be making your wings, and you will like it. And
Only if you pay me to come there.
No one is offering you money to come to the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Then I guess.
Let us be clear.
It's
you will. How dare you, Wingy? I was told that this was going to be a fluff piece, and you were going to say nice things about Wingy.
No, this is an ambush interview.
I should have seen this coming. There's an error in my programming for agreeing to come on.
I'd like to take a look at your circuit board.
Hang on, my supervisor wants to talk to you.
Who is your supervisor, another robot?
It was my understanding that you guys were going to be promoting Wingy the robot.
No, not unless I get paid. Only if I get paid.
No one is offering you any money, Darren.
If you want me to do a live read, it's going to cost you something.
No one is saying anything about you getting paid by Buffalo Wild Wings. Wait, Flippy wants the phone back.
Then why are you putting people out of work?
Now you've got it. People are not being put out of work there, and they will be assigned new roles to serve chicken wings in a way that is more pleasing. They will be given different positions, more valuable assets.
You know what you should do is you should get a robot CEO.
He's here. Do you want to talk to him?
Yeah, let's talk to him. What's his name?
I am the CEO robot. I will be taking control of Buffalo Wild Wings.
This sounds actually pretty cool.
I know, right?
I like how this sounds.
I'm going to be in charge of Buffalo Wild Wings. Am I first?
Now, every time you mention Buffalo Wild Wings, you understand that we are those are billable dollars.
Every time you mention Buffalo Wild Wings, I will send you money.
Yeah, there you go.
I am cutting a deal with you right now, Darren.
All right,
you
good.
You will be the exclusive mouthpiece of Buffalo Wild Wings.
No, he's not authorized to do that.
He's the CEO.
Not yet. He will be. He's in beta testing. There's a bug in his program. He should not have offered you any money.
But he did.
It's not in writing. None of that's happened. None of this is real.
No, we have the audio.
No, you don't. I have your audio. What do you think of that?
Well, that's fine. I'm a deep fake. What do you think of that?
I suspected it.
Who says I'm real?
Your face is real. That's what I think.
It looks real. But is it? But is it real? Can you believe anything?
I'll be flipping wings at both locations.
Do you know the truth?
What? Don't make this weird. Come on, man. I'm trying to... Come on, man. Don't make it so Wingy.
It's never going to get weird enough for me, man.
That's what I've heard about you.
Uh-huh.
I'll be coming soon to the Quad Cities to flip wings. And
what else can you do?
What do you mean? What else can I do?
I mean, what other things can you do?
That's all I'm programmed to do is flip wings. You want me to do other things?
Maybe.
Hang on, let me get my boss on the line.
Flippy is designed to make wings.
But he could do other things. Other things than flipping wings.
No.
He could.
No, error.
If he wanted it.
Exterminate.
Now you've done it. Now the robot apocalypse is on. I hope you're happy, Darren.
Well, just in time for Halloween. That's perfect.
Consume more chicken wings. Consume.
I thought this went well. I really did.
Yeah, right? I mean,
I thought that sounded good.
That was an exclusive that we were able to bring you. I mean, I didn't realize their plans were so nefarious. I thought this was going to be cool.
Yeah.
Turns out...
No.
I, for one, welcome our new robot overlords.
Number two.
I have here secrets from Olive Garden. These are employees who are sharing their secrets and stories.
Now, this is something that you should probably maybe be sharing with your son.
I don't think I will.
No?
No. My mother-in-law is in town, and the two of them went to Olive Garden last night. It's a big hit in my family, the Olive Garden.
Yeah.
I tend to opt out. It's not my favorite place. But the Olive Garden is a huge hit in my house.
Uh-huh.
That's when you know tonight is something special, when it calls for a trip to the Olive Garden.
The OG?
Mm-hmm. You're the only one that calls it that.
What?
People who have worked at Olive Garden were asked to share their secrets and stories from on the job, and some of these are pretty eye-opening.
Slinging noodles.
The absolute worst thing was the never-ending pasta bowl promotion. I literally had a customer get 20 refills.
Oh, come on.
Customer was in my section for 3 hours and did not tip. Someone else says, anything labeled as endless is truly endless. So people will stuff themselves until they're literally sick. All the employees hated the never-ending pasta bowl promotion because people would literally throw up at the table and then keep eating.
No, they wouldn't.
Here's one. The salad really is unlimited refills.
Yeah.
I once brought a table their salad, only to have the person dump the entire bowl on their plate so they could hand me the empty salad bowl.
Get another one right now.
And ask for another one
right
away before I left the table.
Savage.
I worked at two different Olive Gardens for about 4 years total in college. I was a host, a to-go specialist, and bread and salad prep. Everyone should know that you should tip your to-go specialist. Once there was a $1,500 order for a sorority at the town's college. I got there 2 hours early to help make the bread, salads, and pack everything up. They tipped $0. To-go can get pretty wild. Sometimes I would have 10 to 15 orders backed up and still have the phone ringing off the hook and online orders coming through. Here's somebody who uses the term OG like you do. Sarah writes, salad, soup, and breadsticks, the absolute bane of every OG server's existence.
Really?
I worked at various Olive Gardens over 10 years in every position, and I still have lunch rush nightmares where all three of my tables, that's the max you're supposed to have. And with the refills, it could really put you in the weeds. They tell me they're going to make it easy for me and have soup, salad, and breakfasts. At the time, that would cost $7.25. People would give you $10 and tell you to keep the change, which is a good tip percentage-wise, but not for the amount of stress and running around. It just wasn't worth it.
Yeah. So they don't care for anything that's with refills.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Olive Garden has the infamous, this is another employee, Olive Garden has the infamous never-ending pasta pass.
Yeah.
That means for a small price, you can eat as much pasta as you want with and literally not pay during the duration of the promo. I had a hungry gentleman who ate 6 bowls of pasta. You'd imagine he was full. He proceeded to literally throw up on the table, then went to the restroom while the busser and I cleaned up his mess.
Bring out another bowl.
I thought he was embarrassed, but nope. This grown man asked for another bowl of pasta. He then proceeded to give me $1 tip and leave. Anna writes, I once saw a customer take out part of her weave and put it in her pasta. She told me she found it there and wanted her meal comped. Here's a secret. The number of olives, tomatoes, etc. on your salad is directly impacted by the amount of people at your table. In addition, sometimes they're weighed so that the right amount of lettuce for your party is at the bowl. Like they have like a chart?
So depending, give me that again. So
the number of olives and tomatoes on your salad directly impacted by the amount of people at your table.
Okay, so if you're sharing a salad with two people.
Mm-hmm. Different amount of
as opposed to four.
Olives and tomatoes.
You're going to get more with four.
Yeah.
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 You should say two other people are joining us. Two other people will be joining
They'll
us.
They'll be joining. Not a bad hack.
And then we just got a call. After the salad shows up, they're not going
to
show.
They weren't able to make it.
They can't make it.
But thanks for the extra olives
but
and
we
tomatoes.
Just, we just played you, OG.
Another one says, it doesn't happen too often, but sometimes customers steal the cheese graters, and we notice. I know everyone likes the cheese, but now you're going to have to continuously buy expensive blocks of cheese to put in your used cheese grater to have that in-home Olive Garden experience.
I'm not a big cheese guy on my salad.
Really?
Yeah.
Alliances.
I mean, cheese, I think cheese belongs pretty much everywhere else, but on a salad?
Yeah. Well, because the graters they have at the Olive Garden you put it, it's like a contraption. You put it in and you twirl it.
Yeah.
And then the cheese comes out. I mean, I wouldn't mind.
It's okay, but.
I wouldn't mind having one of those. Now that I think about it, it never occurred to me you could steal one. Your first basket of breadsticks is brought out with one stick for each person at the table plus one extra.
Uh-huh.
Because it's usually uncomfortable for someone to take the last one. Any baskets that are supposed to be after that are supposed to be one stick for each person.
Okay, that makes sense.
Our system knows how many people are at each table because we have to enter one drink for each person.
Yes.
And if you don't order a drink, we enter tap water. This also determines the weight of the salad given to your table and
flat
the number
water?
Of toppings. Oh, here we go.
I'll have a high C.
I worked at the Olive Garden on the Orange Blossom Trail, less than a mile from the Olive Garden corporate headquarters back in 1990. Only for about 2 months, but two of the most unique months in a 30-year restaurant career. Every time a corporate bigwig came in, and they came in all the time,
mm-hmm.
we had to drop whatever we were doing, gather in the kitchen, and sing the Hospitaliano song loud enough so it could be heard in the dining room.
Oh, brother.
One last secret. It says that if you make a complaint and are given a gift card by the restaurant, the gift card looks different than the standard gift cards that are purchased as gifts.
Gotcha.
That's because you have Karens who make a habit out of coming in to complain about anything. They'll give them another free gift card.
Uh-huh.
And if a manager sees them with this special gift card and hears them complain about something,
They know.
Then they don't reward them again with free food or a gift card again.
Good call.
Yeah. I once saw a manager sit at a table of Karens who had the special gift card for 30 minutes.
Uh-huh.
She let them whine over everything and beg for free food, but would not give in.
Yes.
And we were all cheering for her in the back.
Nice. I'll sit here. I'll give you the 30 minutes.
I'm happy to.
But I know that you've already got a free card.
We all know that you're only here because you complained and got a free card last time.
Yeah.
We know if you think this is happening again.
No, I'll just stall you out.
Right. When you're here, you're family. And there's a lot of people in my family I can't stand.
That's a good point.
Number three.
Halloween is on Sunday. It's going to be a fun Halloween weekend. Hope to see you out at Nerdspeak as we do our Dead Man's Party, the zombie apocalypse.
Do you finally have your candy?
No.
Still not?
No. And last year we did Rice Krispie treats. Huh. And I found that those were actually cheaper than getting bags of candy, and kids go nuts for them.
What do you mean they go nuts?
Well, it seems to them like it's a bigger deal.
They actually say something?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
What do they say?
You can tell. They were very excited. Okay. You can get a little Snickers bar. You can get a big, Rice Krispie bar. So I think we're doing Rice Krispie bars again. Rice Krispie treats,
You're going to make popcorn balls.
No.
They like them.
No, that was something you used to be able to get away with in the 70s. Not anymore. I watched yesterday on YouTube a half-hour documentary on the Paul Lynde Halloween special.
Oh, yeah?
It's something else. He wanted nothing to do with that.
Really?
And Donny Osmond was like, he hated every minute of it, and he couldn't wait to get out of there. He despised it.
Well?
And the thing is, they gave it to him because he was under contract to do sitcoms, and the sitcoms never really took off.
They couldn't find anything for him.
Right. So then they gave
him... We fulfill the contract.
Right. They were just burning off a contract.
Yeah, right.
He was not a fan of having to do it at all. And they talk about just what a weird setup the whole thing is because it's a variety show and then it kind of morphs into a sitcom and then they're just doing sketch comedy.
Yeah.
There's like a lot going on that when you look at what a normal variety show in the 70s looks like with Sonny and Cher or Donnie and Marie. Yeah, but it was a variety special, but it was all over the place, and that's what makes it so great. When Margaret Hamilton says, you know perfectly well what time of year it is, and he goes, why don't you go dust?
Yeah.
It's the greatest.
I guess I should get it out and watch it.
Yeah, for sure. It'll get you in the mood for Halloween.
Well.
And Easter and Valentine's Day. My funny Valentine. At some point, Florence Henderson shows up and starts singing a song.
Yeah.
And it really has nothing to do with anything. None of it has anything to do with anything.
It's true.
It's like truckers that are hot for Roz Kelly.
Roz Kelly.
What does that have to do with Halloween?
Cats. Roots.
He does the opening monologue.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how I used to get candy when I was a kid. I was fat. It's great stuff.
It really is.
Yeah. And then Kiss shows up.
Yeah, Kiss
for their
shows
first
up.
Major primetime appearance. It's basically Kiss's introduction to America on the Paul Lynde Halloween special.
Yeah, boy. They should show. I know that a lot of the drive-ins are already closed.
Yeah.
Boy, they really should show that sometime.
Now, last year, a listener pointed out that it was available in its entirety on Amazon.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's still the case this year. If it is, I really encourage you to watch it, the Paul Lynde Halloween special.
Uh-huh.
It's just fantastic.
It'll get you in the mood.
A quarter,
I can't say for what.
A quarter of Americans say that Halloween is one of their favorite holidays.
What do you mean, one of?
Yeah.
No, you got to pick one.
These were your options. Halloween.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite holidays. I like it, but it's not one of my favorite holidays. I don't really like it. Or I refuse to celebrate Halloween.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
10% of American adults say they refuse to celebrate.
And what does that mean? That means not even handing out candy?
I guess.
Because I'm not going to get dressed up, but that doesn't mean I wouldn't hand... I've always handed out candy.
There's a woman in our neighborhood who likes to scream why she's not giving out candy every year. That's a fun house to go to. Rather than just have the lights
and
off
not
and not
answer,
be bothered.
She answers the door every time?
She stands in her house and screams out the windows why she doesn't
give candy. What's her excuse? What's her reason?
She has dogs.
Yeah. People have dogs.
Right. But just, I wonder
you
if the dogs...
You gotta hold them back.
I'm guessing the dogs are yapping because you're screaming like a maniac. If you have your light off and there's no Halloween decorations...
No one's
going
to come to your door.
Right. Right. So your choices were, it's one of my favorite holidays, I like it, but it isn't one of my favorites, I don't really like it, which is what 20% of Americans said.
Uh-huh.
So really only 70% of us are excited for Halloween.
Okay, is there an answer of, it's fine?
No. No. Favorite, I like it, I don't like it, it's I fine. Refuse to celebrate. Halloween is just fine is where you would go, huh?
It's fine.
A quarter of Americans say Halloween's one of their favorites. When people are asked to compare it to other holidays, they usually say they prefer the other one, though. That gets where it's tricky.
If
it's like, okay, you like, what are your favorite holidays? Well, I like Halloween and I like the 4th of July. Well, which one do you like best?
Yeah.
4th of July. Or if it's between Thanksgiving and Halloween, people will say Thanksgiving. If you say Halloween and Christmas... People say Christmas. The only holiday that Halloween beats head-to-head,
yeah.
Valentine's Day.
Hmm.
Americans like Halloween more than Valentine's Day, but less than the 4th of July, and certainly less than Thanksgiving.
I'm guessing Christmas is the favorite holiday?
You know, I think Thanksgiving might be the favorite.
Thanksgiving could be.
And it depends, too, on how old you are.
Yeah.
Younger people tend to have different opinions about, say, a New Year's Eve than, say, someone who's grown up.
Yeah.
Taking a look at Americans. Okay, this is all Americans. Christmas is the top. Then Thanksgiving, then 4th of July, then New Year's, and then Valentine's Day. In terms of what do you like, you know, one or the other. Halloween. People like Halloween more than Valentine's Day. But that's the only one that it beats. Americans... When asked about trick-or-treating, 63% say that they will give out some candy.
Mm-hmm.
1 in 5 adults, 21%, will pretend not to be home. You can just not answer the door. You don't have to like make an elaborate...
You don't have to lay on the floor.
I'm pretending.
On your stomach.
Let's pretend we're not here. And in order for this to work, we need to believe it ourselves. Let's pretend we're somewhere else.
It's not lying if we really believe it.
Let's go in the basement and pretend we're in Spain.
What time does the trick-or-treating start? 5?
It depends on where you live. different towns have different rules.
Different strokes?
Yeah, between 5 and 8. But again, check the rules of your local town. Different rules for different places.
I think 5 to 7 would be fine.
25% of Americans say that children are never too old for trick-or-treating.
What do you mean?
That they'll give, they have no problem with teenagers trick-or-treating. 1 in 8 think kids become too old to trick-or-treat when they reach the age of 12. 11% will give kids an additional year of trick-or-treating after that.
So this year what I'm going to do is we got a big bowl, put a big bowl out there, and put all the candy in the big bowl, and then I will sit there. I got this big long stick, and then I will just point with the stick to the bowl and say, take some.
Pointing with the stick.
That's... But the stick is like 5 feet long.
Wow.
So it'll be like, there, right there. That's where you get it. If you can't tell, that's the candy bowl right there.
5% of Americans think children should never go trick-or-treating. And 2% of Americans think they need to quit trick-or-treating before they reach the age of 10. 10? Aren't you a little old to be trick-or-treating?
Double digits.
Come on. Yeah, the most popular answer is 12. That's when they should knock off the trick-or-treating.
So you get to trick-or-treat at 12? That's your last year? Or are you...
I mean, I'll tell you how it's working in my house. I think my 12-year-old...
is going one more time?
He's going to go one more time.
And he probably won't be gone for very long.
He never is.
Yeah.
Like, which I've never understood. When I was trick-or-treat age, you would leave, 3 minutes before the start, and you would come home like 20 minutes after the end. And you'd have a pillowcase full of stuff. His whole life, he'll walk around a little bit, and then it's like, this seems like enough candy. I'm done.
Yeah.
And then he likes to be the guy that hands out the candy, which I don't get.
I wonder if he'd like a big, long stick.
Well, I'll ask him.
Because then that way you can just point to the bowl.
Well, you know, kids kind of can figure out when there's a bowl full of candy.
That's what I'm saying. This is really just kind of a backup. It's a backup
there's
stick.
There's also a stick to make sure that you kids don't...
Well, I'm not going to hit anybody with it.
Try and get. Don't shake me down.
I'm not going to get myself in trouble over Halloween.
Surely not again.
It's not going to happen. No way.
Number four. Harrison Ford lost his credit card. I guess this happened in Italy. His lost credit card. Some tourist found it.
Does he have just the one?
I imagine he's got more than one, but you never know. 79-year-old actor, who, by the way, is going to be 81 when the new Indiana Jones movie comes out. It's been delayed another year. I don't know if you saw that. They're not putting it out next summer. It's going to be the summer after.
I would shoot his parts now.
I think that's what they're trying to do. Harrison Ford lost his credit card. Police in Palermo say a German tourist found his credit card in the nearby beach town of Mandello, and turned it into the authorities. The police quickly identified the place where the Indiana Jones Han Solo movie star was hanging out. I guess he was trying to walk around in the streets undercover, and that's hard for him to do. They tracked him down, and they returned the card. And it says here it's not sure he even knew that the card was missing.
Of course not.
When the police officer and two policemen showed him and returned his belongings, the actor smiled, relieved of all the prevented damage, and happy to know that Italy is as beautiful as it is honest. He was injured earlier this year on the set of Indiana Jones 5, filming a scene there in Sicily. He's, I guess, filming now with Antonio Banderas and Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Buddy of mine out in L.A. was having breakfast one day, and he looked over, a couple booths over, Harrison Ford was having breakfast. And he was wondering, like, okay, I'm not gonna say anything to him. No, and understand, this buddy of mine, huge Star Wars and Indiana Jones fan.
Uh-huh.
Huge.
But left it alone.
He makes a decision like, you know what? it's a better story if I just let the man be. I can't think of anything to say to him that he hasn't heard a million times. He seems to be enjoying his eggs. I'm going to enjoy my eggs, and I will know. For the rest of my life, I will know that I once had breakfast with Harrison Ford, and that is a good enough story.
You couldn't, like, ask about the eggs or anything? Oh, what do you got there, eggs?
And he said that somebody that was working at the restaurant, like the manager, kept walking around Harrison Ford, but not directly up to him, and was talking loud enough so everyone could hear about how he was going to be going as Han Solo for Halloween that year. Like he was expecting Harrison Ford to say,
"Great,
hey, you know, that's me. Hey, I'm Han Solo." Harrison Ford ignored the manager guy. I don't know if this was at a Denny's. It was some sort of L.A. diner.
Denny's?
No, it wasn't a Denny's. It was some sort of diner out there.
Could have choose Denny's?
Well, you know, he gets a discount.
Well, that's true.
He gets the, you know, a nice percentage taken off his moon over Miami or whatever it was he was having. But yeah, he just left him alone and was rolling his eyes at the manager guy. He could tell that, like, he didn't belong. The manager guy didn't even belong in that part of the restaurant. It was clear that he was just trying to get Harrison Ford to notice him. And Harrison Ford went out of his way not to. Maybe he couldn't hear him. I don't know. Reminds me that your guy Paul McCartney's in the news.
Yes.
And he's saying, in the future, if you ever run into Paul McCartney, his preference would be that you don't ask for his autograph and you don't get a selfie with him. He's had enough of people demanding selfies. What he'd like to do is just chat and exchange stories.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd have put up with it in the first place.
Really?
Well, you know, you want to have a picture taken with somebody, you have no idea who this creep is?
That's true.
Do you want that? I mean, it's one thing to sign an autograph for somebody.
Boy. Okay, Pat Hughes. Tell me more about your policy. You're going to be some sort of jerk.
Well, more than a jerk even.
Right. Right. Somebody on the street wants to take a picture with you, and you think, okay, fine, but you don't know who that person is.
No,
and then when that person's a serial killer,
you have
and
no
there's a picture of you next to them on the news.
Right. You have no idea what they're up to.
Ringo, years ago, famously said, that's it, I'm not signing autographs anymore. Peace and love. Peace and love. Didn't he give, like, a deadline or something? Like, you got until the end of the month, and then I'm done?
Yeah, Paul says he's not going to sign the autographs because we both know who I am.
We both know who I am. Quote, here, can I write your name down on the back of this till receipt, please?
Well, and here's the
thing. We both know who I am. Yeah, man, he's right.
And some of those receipts,
mm-hmm.
A Bic pen is not going to work very well on it.
He says, what you've usually got for selfies, which he's not a fan of, he says, you got a ropey photo with a poor backdrop and me looking a bit miserable. Let's chat. Let's exchange stories. What story would you tell Paul McCartney?
I don't know.
Let's say he does another one of these.
He's got more than I have.
Well, there's that.
Why don't you tell me a story?
He says, let's chat. Let's exchange stories. Exchange stories. Okay. One time,
Do you want me to start a fire and I'll make some hobo chili as well?
Oh no, I'm not gonna do an autograph. But let's exchange stories. You go first. This morning I got a jacket out because it is cold, and when I went in the jacket, there was $3 in the pocket. So that's kind of cool. Oh, that is kind of cool. You know, I was in the Beatles for a while.
Don't you find that everyone's a pain in the ass? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Have you noticed that most people are idiots? Yeah.
See, when I ran into Art Garfunkel at North Park Mall.
You didn't. You saw him from a distance.
Right. I didn't go run up and say, take a picture with me. One, because.
He's too tall.
Yeah.
I mean. I'm not even good.
I know it happened. He has no idea it happened. But there doesn't need to be a permanent record of me seeing Art Garfunkel at the mall. Just leave the man alone.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
I was going through some pictures a couple of weeks ago, and I had completely forgotten, which is crazy for me because this is an artist that I'm crazy about. I had completely and totally forgotten that I got to go backstage and meet John Mellencamp one of the times he was in Moline.
Yeah, that's right.
We went back there, and you know, he was fine enough. But backstage is always weird.
There's the little bastard.
That's what he kept yelling. That's his nickname for himself, right? His
yes,
publishing company or something, right?
No, that's not our doing. That's his doing.
Right, right. But, you know.
Remember how much he spit on stage?
He did have a lot to get out of his mouth. Not just lyrics.
Not just the words of the song.
Right. So we take pictures with Mellencamp, which is great. Keep in mind, he's one of my all-time favorites. I completely forgot that I had a picture of myself with John Mellencamp.
It happens.
And here's the thing. I look like I can't believe it that the guy who gave me the Lonesome Jubilee and and Nothing Matters and What If It Did, I can't believe I'm in a room with him. And the look on his face is, how many more minutes until I can get out of this room? Which is an appropriate look, by the way. Like, meet and greets are a drag for artists.
Well,
get it.
But you went through quite a little period there probably for a while where you were doing a ton of them.
It's true. It's true. But what I'm telling you is, Mellencamp is... I'm a gigantic fan. I had no memory of there being a picture of that interaction whatsoever.
Well, that's all right.
So to get a picture with, I mean, if you were to see Paul McCartney at a gas pump, and you're obviously a huge fan of Sir Paul, would you just give him like a knowing look or a thumbs up, or what would you do?
I would probably say, hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
That's about it.
Hey. Oh, let's tell you, let's exchange stories. I heard one time you had too much Pappy Joe's pizza and fell headfirst into a wall. Tell me that one.
How about we exchange bank account numbers?
Not doing that.
Well, that's a good call on your part.
All right, I gotta go.
What's the routing number?
No, I'm not falling for that again.
Not again.
Five.
Number five.
Story from England where this guy is just hanging out, just enjoying the summertime. You probably get like, what, 3 or 4 days in England where you can enjoy the summertime?
Probably.
Dude's just chillaxing in his backyard, having a nice relaxing time, and out of nowhere, he and his entire backyard are covered in sewage.
Nice.
Not nice. Enjoying the sun in his backyard in Windsor, which is in the southeast part of England, when a passing plane dropped toilet waste over him.
Not today!
And his garden furniture.
Ugh.
Although, crap!
Although I suppose the garden really took off the next year. Prize-winning roses.
My secret is I have planes. Dump waste all over the backyard. Next thing you know, I'm getting all the awards. My roses win so many awards. Yeah. Just enjoying the sun. It was an unfortunate incident in which a plane discharged sewage back in July. His whole garden was splattered, according to his ward counselor. Splattered in a very unpleasant way. He was out at the garden at his time, and it was a really horrible, horrible experience. The whole garden, garden umbrellas, and him, covered in poop.
Mm.
No thanks. They shouldn't be able to just empty that when they're up in the...
Yeah, take it easy, Dave Matthews.
Exactly. This is a Dave Matthews bus sitch. It's exactly what this is.
Poop. Diarrhea poop.
Yeah. No, thanks. This is one of several incidents that I guess happen every year in which frozen sewage is dropped along flight routes. Where this guy's house is in Windsor is on the flight path to London's Heathrow Airport.
Well, you didn't know that, did you?
This left all of his neighbors terrified after frozen poo fell from the sky. Raw sewage landing in your backyard, it turns out, is pretty rare. And they think that the summer's warm weather might have had something to do with it. It's frozen when they drop it. And it must have, I guess, melted on the way down. I wouldn't want to really get too caught up in the science of it all. One of the parish counselors over there, Jeff Paxton, has worked with airlines for four decades. And he says that what happened to this guy in his backyard is so rare that he hasn't seen one in a long time.
Okay, is that enough? Is that good enough? You accept that?
No.
Uh-huh, okay. Leave me alone now.
Surely not again. Surely not again.
Modern toilets on planes are vacuum secured and are normally reliable as they rely on pressure suction to work. So this situation must have resulted from an aircraft failure or a failure to adequately service it. So it's not like the pilot has a button up there that he pushes for bombs away time.
Take this.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you look out the rear of your plane...
I think you're really going to enjoy this.
We're coming up on my ex-wife's house, and, you might want to keep a look, because her reaction, I reckon, is going to be absolutely priceless. All right, bombs, as we say, bombs away in all Bombay. There it goes. That, if you're wondering what was just left the airplane... that is your waste, ladies and gentlemen. You, in your very, very small part, have played a role in a delicious revenge scheme. They say revenge is a dish best served cold, and as it turns out, so is your feces, ladies and gentlemen. So thank you for emptying your bowels in me aircraft so that I could, let Yvonne know just how we all feel about her. And I hope her new boyfriend Trevor's there. He can clean up the mess. Oh, look at that. It went all over the umbrellas. Umbrellas I paid for, by the way. I paid for those umbrellas. Feel good about what you've done, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll resume our flight. We should be getting into Heathrow in about a couple of minutes.
This guy was unable to get insured because they say the cost of the ordeal was relatively low. Having human poop on your umbrellas, they're not going to replace your umbrellas.
Boom.
And yeah, like you said, having that waste in the rose garden may not be the worst thing in the
benefit.
World. Yeah, if this guy wins some prizes next year, we'll know what's up.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things Podcasts. Patrons, we've got another patron show coming up. In fact,
yeah, this week.
It's our annual... Spooktacular.
Spooktacular.
Yeah. So if you're a patron of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things, you should be looking for that sometime this week.
Enter if you dare.
Thanks so much for listening to Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things, and thanks to Nature's Treatment of Illinois for making it possible.
You can order recreational items online from the Galesburg location and order medicinal items online from the Milan location, both of those through Leafly, and that's you're going to find at the website. That's ntillinois.com.
Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Okay, so I'll see you later, huh? I'll give you a call.